Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to the A New Day show on a Sunday evening when we deal with life issues. I do apologize for the tardiness in getting on the air. As you all remember, I am in New York because of the death of a family, and I'm using somebody else's computer, and I was just having some struggles. So, right now, I'm doing the show via computer and via telephone. For those of you who have sent priors via Facebook, I do appreciate it. And my family and I feel so blessed that you are with us during this time of our bereavement. I have no special guest this evening, but I am encouraging you to call in. The number is 646-915-8166, and you and I will have some conversations about overcoming adversities. I do have a few of my favorite quotes by some of the prominent experts on adversities, and I am going to go ahead and share those with you. I will also get the chat room up momentarily, because it is not up yet because of the challenges there. However, one of the first quotes I want to share with you is from William A. Ward, and it says, "Adversity causes some men to break and others to record." In other words, what I think that is saying, that it is the survival of the fittest, because if each and every one of us can pay some attention and close look within our lives, we can realize that we have all encountered some adversity in our lives. And then the question that I ask is, how do we deal with those adversities? Because it is in the dealing of those adversities that those tests become testimonies where we can use our stories to help other people. So again, the chat room is up, so feel free to join me there. And also you can call me at 646-915-8166. And this is Dynamic Daphne coming to you live from New York City. Now, I want to speak about three tips and strategies that we can use to overcome adversities. And this I pull off an article, and when I get to the end, I am going to share who the author is. I hope the author is here. But especially for those of us who live in the United States of America. Hi, John, I see you there. So thanks for coming on. I got on. I'm not hearing through my headset, and I don't know why, but I'm still just glad to be on. So if you can tell me how to get it coming through my headset when I'm speaking on the phone, I would appreciate that. So as I was about to say, is that in America, we celebrate Thanksgiving round about the end of November. And I always tell my clients and I tell others that you do not have to wait for November to give thanks, because Thanksgiving ought to be every day. Every day is supposed to be Thanksgiving. So I oftentimes have my clients do journaling on days of gratitude. What are they grateful for? And the person who wrote this article here, the person started off by saying, in this holiday season, while a lot of people are in celebration mode and looking forward to feast with their families and friends and look forward to giving gifts and receiving them from their loved ones, there are others who are struggling to overcome adversities and are not in celebration mode at all. As always, my tips and strategies focus on those who are faced with obstacles, challenges, adversities, and are trying to overcome. I know there are hundreds of different reasons for why people pass through life's ups and downs, but when the hard times come around the holiday season, it is even harder and deeper and more painful than other times, because it feels like the adversity and excluding some of us from enjoying the season and left us to deal with the misfortune while others are having a good time. So what is the best way to deal with our adversities during this time of year? I will give you three tips and strategies to help ease your discomfort and look past your adversities. And here they are. Number one, Thanksgiving is here, but you are so worried. You are experiencing lack of one thing or another. How are you going to be thankful? Now, there are no right or wrong way in answering this question, because each and every one of us will be answering this question based on our experiences. Your answer to this question is just by starting to be thankful for being alive. You know, each and every day when I wake up, I am just so thankful to see the rays of the sun on the window pane. Because there are a lot of people who have gone to bed and have not woke up. So there's nothing for them to give thanks for. So instead of complaining and worrying Why don't you just begin by saying, I want to give thanks for being alive today, to know that it is the day of Thanksgiving, because this is what this article is working on. And whether or not you woke up and you have a meal, a breakfast, lunch, or dinner to give thanks for, from the mere fact that you are awake, you should be giving thanks because you are alive to experience the day. And you will be surprised, because by the time you begin to give thanks, you will find out that your telephone begin to ring and people are actually calling and extending invitations to you. During any adversities, obstacles, or challenges that is not life-threatening you, you have a lot to be thankful for. If you are healthy, you can survive all other adversities. If you focus on finding ways to overcome, as opposed to make your adversity a heavy load on your shoulder, then what it really is, remember the saying, what doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger. Most adversities can be overcome if we don't let them crush us, keep us down, pass our body into our soul. Don't let your soul be poisoned by what you can go past. If you manage it strategically, calmly, and with patience, give everything time to heal. I have found out that in all my adversities, instead of sitting around and getting all stressed out of that, when I sit down and dissect it and take it apart and say, what's the lesson here? Because I know there is a lesson here for me to learn. And I have found out that I come out smelling like roses instead of smelling like something else. You know, I come out feeling stronger. I come out feeling more empowered. You know, this person here, I am trying to see who did this article here. I actually pulled it from articlebase.com, and the author's name is not here. Okay. But at least you all know that this is not my article. So because the name is not here, I don't know who the author is. Number two is the person saying here, in American cultures, a holiday season happen to be more of a shopping season than a celebration of the holidays and each other. I read a saying once, a house is where you keep all your stuff while you go out and get more stuff. If that is what a house is, it is not about a home, family, friends, loved ones, the holidays, that then are in time to get more stuff and pile into their storage or garage until you have no space to even park your car in your garage. Now, I once heard a friend of mine who is a real estate agent said, you know, in every home he goes, people has accumulated so many stuff. And one of the things she says is that every time you go to that place, you are thinking, you know, you, she moves from one place to do a showing at another place, and she's always thinking that she cannot see any more stuff than she saw at the place. But she commented that over the years, if she was to write a book on all the stuff that people has accumulated, it would be a time of, it would be a bestseller. And it would be a book, she said, that people would not want to put it down. Her point, you should not feel bad because you are not able to buy stuff as you're used to or as you would like to. Instead, take the holiday for what they are meant to be. Holidays are supposed to be time of celebration of the season. They are for celebration, special days, religion, or otherwise. They are to celebrate one another and have good times. If we have pure love for one another, we will have good times drinking pure water. We won't have to really give all the material things to one another. You know, a lot of times people tend to use the material stuff to replace the relationships, especially with our children. We need to know that nothing, absolutely nothing, it does not matter how much you pay for the stuff. That should not substitute your relationship with your children, your spouses, and your family members. Number three says, look around and see the stuff that fill up your space. I don't think any of us need more stuff in our homes. What we really need is each other, real affection. We don't have to have campaigns. We don't have to have champagne. We don't have to have big feasts to gather and be happy. We don't, you don't have to have a present for each other in a celebration. That's what is best there. You can make your favorite dish and you can bring that over and you can share that with other family members. You will find out that that will help you to overcome all the adversities and everything because we are taking time to show each other how much we do care about them and how much we treasure the relationship. Now, I want to remind you that you can call in. The number to call is 646-915-8166. And I want to go on and talk about something that I do have a personal experience with. And it's overcoming adversities through my faith. For those of you who have known me and are following my work for a period of time, you know that my mother died when I was 13 years own. And for a girl to lose her mother that early in life, you can imagine what's going on. And I was on somebody else's show, on a TV show in Connecticut, and I spoke about that, what it was like for me when my mother died. And I just spoke the facts and the truth about what I encountered and how I dealt with it. And needless to tell you that it has caused a bit of tension in my family, because there are some of the family members who think that I should not have mentioned what I mentioned on the show about how I was treated by another family member. But you know, let truth be told. If I don't share my story to let others know that you can overcome, and I am saying, if there was supposed to be some feeling of shame, that should have been me hanging my head low about the shame. Instead, I'm here talking about it and to let others know that it does not matter what you go through, you can overcome. So I have found out that over the years, the adversities that I have encountered has helped to give me character. Yes, adversity has helped to build my character. I have found out that adversity has pointed me closer to my authenticity. Because when I come face to face with adversity, I am always looking to say, what sets me apart from everybody else besides the adversity that I am going through? And it has helped me to really embrace my authenticity and to operate from my authentic core. This way, I am not someone that goes around and chase the Joneses and just want to do what other people are doing. Instead of, my focus and emphasis and concentration and commitment is on following my God-given calling and purpose. Adversities has also helped me to build tolerance and patience. You know that the world now lives into a microwave era where everybody wants everything so quickly, and nobody wants to wait for anything. And I am telling you, when you are going to an adversity, so long as you sit back and really analyze it to see the lessons, it helps you, after you find those lessons, it helps you to be patient and to be tolerant of what you are going through. My adversities has also stretched my faith. Adversity for me is like bodybuilding, because you're looking for good, strong, firm muscles, and the guys are always looking for big abs. And adversity does that for your face. It helps to build and tone the muscles. It firms them. And for me, I can honestly tell you that adversity has helped me to have an unwavering faith. my adversities, and as I overcome each and every one of them, it has helped me to always, without the shadow of a doubt, it has always helped me to choose faith over fear. So, I want to, if you're just joining me, I want to tell you that I just mentioned that adversity gives me personally, character. It helps me to build tolerance and patience. Adversities help to stretch my faith. It's like, to me, it is like building a good, you know, firming up the muscles are like a bodybuilder. So adversities, I've chosen to use them as the bodybuilder for my faith. Often, many of us face trials and tribulations in our lives that we do not deal with in a positive light. It stresses your job. It also stresses your family members. It stresses your neighbors. It prevents you from starting personal relationships. And especially, you know, for the past 2 years, 3 years, everyone, you say good morning to them and they're ready to tell you about the economy and the recession and all of that. So I'm saying that to say, if we look far enough, we will notice at least 4 adversities that any one of us are facing at any time. But the result is going to be how we deal with it. And I'm not saying that adversities aren't critical issues, because they are. But what is going to make the difference is how we choose to overcome these adversities. Some of us have made the decision to fight with the obstacle instead of turning it around and using that adversity to empower us. You know, there's a lady that I've known for maybe about 15, 20 years. And I had a meeting with her last Monday, and I was mentioning about when I was homeless, and she nearly fell off the chair she was sitting down. And she looked at me and she said, "When were you homeless?" And she began quizzing. And although I was going through that adversity at the time, I did not use that to burden other people's lives. I focus on the things that I could do for me and at the time for my nine-year-old child, who is now 28 years old. So it is not where we start, but where we finish that is important. Not where we start, but where we finish, that is important. Albert Schweitzer said, One who gains strength by overcoming obstacles possesses the only strength which can overcome adversity. So, you know, we really aren't dealt a pack of cards that we cannot play. We all will get a different deck of cards, and the winner of life will be dependent on how we play that card. Mary Kay says, overcoming obstacles is no pressure, no diamond. No pressure, no diamond. So don't expect to be wearing a diamond if you decide, oh no, I'm staying away from the pressure. I want you to call me at 646-915-8166. I want to hear about some of the things that you are doing for yourself personally to overcome adversity. Lee Salk says, when it gets dark enough, you can see the stars. And what happens? When the rubber touches the metal, or how they say that, or when the pressure, when the heat is turned up, let's use that one, which is what our adversities are. When the heat is turned up, that's when you're going to know what kind of stone you are, what kind of a stone you are. Charles Tremendous Jones wrote, things don't go wrong and break your heart so you can become better and give up. They happen to break you down and build you up so you can be all that you were intended to be. I felt led to read that one again. Charles Tremendous Jones wrote, things don't go wrong and break your heart so you can become better and give up. They happen to break you down and build you up so you can be that you were intended to be. So this quote is merely affirming the fact that we were all born for a purpose. We were all born for a specific purpose. Sweet Martin wrote, achievement is not always success, while reputed failure often is. It is honest endeavor, persistent effort to do the best possible under and all circumstances. So, each of these quotes that I'm reading you, it's just an affirmation when I said that, for me, my adversity helps to build my character. Annie Bradstreet wrote, if we had no winter, this spring could not be so pleasant. If we did not sometimes taste of adversity, prosperity would not be so welcoming. Isn't that the truth? You know, like the old folks normally say, everything can't be hunky-dory. We must go through some tests and some trials at some time. You know, I have found out that there are times when we must tap into our faith. You know, there's a lot of people who said, well, I'm not a Christian and I'm not religious and I'm not that. Yet when something happened, the first name they call on is the Lord. So I know that each and every one of us are spiritual in some way or another. William Fitton, who calls himself the street preacher, preaches the gospel in the ghettos of Cleveland, Ohio, to sick people in the hospital, at all the major sporting events, concert clubs, bars, and, as he says, anywhere the Lord sends him. Fitton went through some serious critical issues in his life. However, due to his strength, along with his faith and trust in God, he prevailed in overcoming adversities in life. Fitton once raised in a well-known Baptist church in the Cleveland area. Unfortunately, during the 1980s until the 1993, he was an alcoholic and a drug addicted and was faced with a serious possibility of losing his wife and his children. He found himself having to choose between his addictions and his family. He feels that he was like the Apostle Paul, who indicated in the Bible in 2 Timothy 3 and 5, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. He had to allow God to come into his life and help him to overcome his adversities and transform him to remove the alcohol, the drugs, and other negative issues from his life. Fitton indicated that in order for him to do this, he had to acknowledge, confess and repent of his sins before God. He did just that and asked Jesus Christ to save him through his power. He was able to do for him what Fitton could not do for himself. He has been following Christ ever since. That's truly overcoming adversity. Fitton experienced various obstacles in overcoming adversity in his life. First, he lived in an urban area of the city where drug dealers were prevalent. Every time he went to the corner store, he had to pass by the alcohol and beer coolers. These are the type of things that he feared, and it brought about certain temptation that he knew would hinder him in overcoming adversity and falling back into the trap of alcohol and drugs. In his fight in overcoming adversity, Fitton also separated himself from his siblings, various relatives, and so-called friends, until the Lord gave him the strength, the courage, and the wisdom that he needed so these issues could no longer be a problem. In his conversation with the Regal magazine, he reflected on the scripture that keeps him from falling and helps him in overcoming adversity, which is Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Satan says that power in the Holy Spirit, and it will help everyone in their plight toward overcoming adversity and fighting the battles of their lives. The street preacher believes that today's economy is a serious critical issue, and many people fall weak to the problem that they are faced with. But he indicated that we must understand that relying on our own flesh is not the answer to overcoming adversities. In the midst of all of our problems, we should focus on Jesus Christ and trust and believe in him completely, as this will keep us in perfect peace. Satan reflects on two scriptures spoken by Jesus Christ, which would help to keep those that are Christians strong in overcoming adversity. The scriptures are St. John 16 and verse 33, and it reads, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And in Matthew 6 and verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those things shall be added unto you." In other words, God will supply all our needs as long as we trust and believe in him. So, you know, as I read that, I'm sharing it to let you know that it's really not about the religion, because each of us need to take the time to build on our faith individually. You know, this faith walk is an individual thing. It's not something that you're going to be blaming your spouse for or your siblings or your boss. I was just moistening my throat. This is a task and a responsibility for individual action. Now, throughout the years, there continue to be a deadline of the stability of the African-American family. It is of utmost importance that African-Americans maintain their families in a strong, stable, and consistent manner, as it is conducive to our reestablishment and redeveloping of our communities. In overcoming adversity in our families, Satan advises that the key for Christian homes is for the head of the household to lead by example and not to be a dictator. This will allow the rest of the family to see Christ in him. He further indicates that it is vitally important to have family devotion and Bible study, which is the key to opening up avenues for communication, for discussing any issues that have occurred during the day, or what are upsetting in any family member. This also gives an opportunity for family members to discuss such difficulties and how they relate to the Bible. Additionally, much of the decline in the stability of the African American family is due to the lack of understanding and/or the willingness of the husband and wife to actively deal with the problems that exist. It is more than evident that in a considerable amount of marital relationships, the parties are caught up in their own specific individual issues. Instead of working together to address and overcome the adversities in their relationship, it is the responsibility of married couples to maintain the stability and structure of their family. Marriage is a sacred and holy commitment which must not be taken lightly. With statistics indicating over half of all marriages in the United States today has less than 10 years, African American couples must look to more than the physical and marital aspects to keep their marriages intact. Fitton advises that Christian couples should read, study, and apply the following scriptures to their everyday lives in order for their marriages to be successful. And these are the scriptures, Ephesians 5, verses 22 and 23. Why? Submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as the church, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. And Ephesians 5:25-28, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it within to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For African American men to overcome the adversity in their lives, Fitton indicates that such is definitely not an easy task, but that it comes from strength and the changing of one's mindset. He advises that one must keep his faith and always read, study, and reflect on the Word of God. The Bible states in Romans 12:2, do not conform do not conform to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Satan acknowledges that the way to do this is to abide in Jesus Christ by letting go of the things of the world and to lay down one's life, one's dream, and one's lustful pleasures and to follow him. According to Satan, in order for any of us to accomplish the goals of overcoming adversity, we must accept Christ in our lives as our personal Savior in order for us to maintain the divine spirituality that he wants us to have. We must let go and let God. Now, I am so in agreement with this article that I just shared with you. Because I personally, I have gone through so many adversities. And if it was not for the grace of God, I would not be here on this 30th day of January 2011 having this conversation with you around overcoming adversities. I didn't have the strength. I didn't have the know-how. And because of that, I had to totally surrender myself to the direction of my faith and my spirituality. There were times when I would kneel down to pray, and I didn't even know what to pray. Instead of, I cried. There were times when I could only say, help me. And I knew that I would get the solution to whatever was going on. I didn't know when, but I know I would. It was just last week I was speaking to my son in Jamaica, and I was telling him that the darkest part of night is just before dawn. And I said, you know that God is getting ready to do something marvelous in your life. And I said, when God opened this door, nobody's going to be able to stop what he's doing. And I was telling him, you know, you don't need to look to me. You don't need to look to your friends or anybody. Just look to God. And I said, instead of calling me and crying to me, why don't you have a heart-to-heart with God and cry out to him and let him know what you're doing and let him know that you know what he wants you to do. And just as I spoke that to him, and it was not 2 days after that, things just started happening. And that, you know, those were the answers that he was looking for, and he realized that it was not just talking, but what I was telling him was fact. They were all facts. I want to just read through some of my favorite quotes on overcoming adversities, because I'm telling you, I have used a lot of them over the years. And I just want to share just a few of the ones that I have held hold to firmly in the past. Louisa May Alcock wrote, I am not afraid of the storm, for I am learning to sail my ship. Now, you know why I chose that one, right? Jonan Van Gauthier, wrote, "Fresh activity is the only means of overcoming adversity." John Maxwell, those of you in America knows John Maxwell very well. And John wrote, "A difficult time can be more readily endured if we retain the conviction that our existence holds a purpose, cause to pursue, a person to love, a goal to achieve." I think I need to read that again. John Maxwell says about overcoming adversity, "A difficult time can be more readily endured if we retain the conviction that our existence holds a purpose, a cause to pursue, a person to love, and a goal to achieve." John Neal writes, "Kites rise against, not with the wind. No man has ever worked his passage anywhere in a dead calm." Cabell Colton writes, "All adverse and depressing influences can be overcome by not fighting, by rising above them." Kabat-Zinn says, "Every difficult moment has the potential to open my eyes and open my heart." There's an old American proverb, which is also one of my favorites. "A dose of adversity is often as needful as a dose of medicine." A Welsh proverb says, "Adversity brings knowledge, and knowledge wisdom. Do not fear the winds of adversity. Remember, a kite rises against the wind rather than with it." And this is from my good friend and colleague, Les Brown. "Anything you suffer, anytime you suffer a setback or disappointment, put your head down and plow ahead." And Gopi again wrote, "Too many parents make life hard for their children by trying too zealously to make it easy for them." Zig Ziglar says about overcoming adversity, "Others can stop you temporarily. You are the only one who can stop you permanently." And I have another quote, and I'm not sure who the author is, but it's one of my favorites. And it reads, "If you shut the door to all error, truth will be shut out." And this just goes to show when I mention about taking time to learn the lessons from our adversities. Peter Sinclair says, "Depression loses its pressure when fresh vision pierces the darkness." And Sister Nikki Giovanni says about overcoming adversity, "Mistakes are a fact of life. It is the response to error that counts." Henry Ward Beecher says about overcoming adversity, "One that one's best success comes after their greatest disappointment. Thomas Fuller says, that which is bitter endure many sweet. That which is bitter to endure may be sweeter to remember. And I have a few more here that are my favorites. I'm not sure who the authors are. Hard things are put in our way not to stop us, but to call out courage and strength. The best way out of emotional pain is to go through it. Helen Keller says, all the world is full of suffering. It is also full of overcoming it. Alexander Pope writes in his discussion about overcoming adversity, a man should never be ashamed to own his has been wrong. He has been wrong. Which is but saying, in other words, that he is wiser today than he was yesterday. There is another affirmation again about finding lessons in the adversity. When you are offended at any man's fault, turn yourself and study your own failings. Then you will forget your anger. Adversity is the trial of principle. Without it, a man hardly knows whether he is honest or not. And here's another powerful one from Helen Keller. The one resolution which has in my mind long before it took the form of a resolution, is the keynote of my life. It is this, always to regard as mere interpretation of faith the handicaps which were placed upon my life almost at the beginning. I resolve that they should not crush or draft my soul, but rather be made to blossom like Aaron's rod with flowers. Don't be too self-critical. Learn to be on your side a bit. The distance doesn't matter, only the first step. The famous Lucille Ball wrote, luck to me is something else, hard work, and realizing that what is opportunity and what isn't. Charles Dickens wrote, reflect on your present blessing, of which every man has many, not on your past misfortune, of which all men have some. Dorothy Smith wrote, noble deeds as hot baths are the best cures for a depression. Michael Jordan, obstacles don't have to stop you. if you run into a wall, don't turn around and give up. Figure out how to climb it, or go through it, or work around it. Where there's a will, there's a way. Bob Richards says about overcoming adversities, it may sound strange, but many champions are made champions by setbacks. He who does not tire adversity. Napoleon Hill says, victory is always possible for the person who refuses to stop fighting. Courage doesn't always roar. Sometimes courage is the little voice at the end of the day that says, I'll try again tomorrow. Vitality shows in not only the ability to persist, but the ability to start over. When you fall down, you get up, you brush yourself off. Fall down, but don't look down. Keep looking up. The greatest mistake you can make in life is to be continually fearing you will make one. Rule your mind or it will rule you. In simple, forget you have a mind and concentrate on those feelings of your heart, because your heart is where your authentic core comes from. So focus on that, because inside our minds are all those naysayers and all those things that have been spoken in our lives, and a lot of them are not positive things. They are not uplifting things, but things that tend to tear us down. Nelson Mandela writes about overcoming adversity, and this is what he says. The greatest glory in living lies not in never failing, but in rising every time you fail. I think this one needs to be said again. The greatest glory in living lies not in never failing, but in rising every time we fail. The great Robert Shuler says, problems are not stop signs, they are guidelines. Problems are not stop signs, they are guidelines. Winston Churchill says, this story has been told that Winston Churchill was invited to do a keynote presentation at a very exquisite boys' school in England, and I guess they went out to some event before, so by the time he got there to do the keynote presentation, he was already stone drunk. But they did not want to announce that he was drunk, to talk about encountering some adversity. So they made sure that he was there to give that presentation. And you will see in the record of many great speeches. And the speech was simple and it was short. But the story goes to say that it was one of the most impacting speeches that school has ever heard. And here is the speech. Never, 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 never give up. That was the seed. And you and I need to apply this to our lives today. You know that we should never, 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 never give up. Never give up. A great pleasure in life is doing what people say you cannot do. You know, it is also said that the greatest revenge is success. So don't go fight folks out and chew folks out and everything. Just become successful. You know, keep doing the journey that you are called to do. Just keep doing it and don't fight folks. You just go. You do what you know you were called to do and become successful. For all the naysayers who say you couldn't do it and you couldn't do it, you couldn't that, you just show them that you can. Misfortune shows those who are not really your friends. You know, in Jamaica, there's a saying that if you want to know your real friends, you should play drunk and lie down by the wayside. So this is what this is saying. When you go through a misfortune or you encounter some adversities, that's when you know who your true friends are. John Quincy Adams wrote, "Courage and perseverance have a magical talisman before which difficulties disappear and obstacles vanish into thin air." Yes, yes, yes. Now, here's another one from Zig Ziglar. "If there were no problems, most of us would be unemployed. Ain't that the truth? Isn't that the truth?" Seneca says, "Great men rejoice in adversity just as brave soldiers triumph during war." Prosperity is not without many fears and disasters and adversities in men. Prosperity is not without many fears and adversities. And disasters is not without comfort and hope. Self-pity is our worst enemy, and if we yield to it, we can never do anything wise in the world. And that's from the famous Helen Keller again. Paul Harvey says, "In times like these, it is good to remember that there have also been times like these." So, you need to grow from each time like these so that the next time you encounter something similar, you can know, been there, done that, let me move ahead. Let the truth be known. Most successes are built on a multitude of failures. That's right. If we take the time to listen and read and learn from those obstacles, we can turn those around and we can know that during those challenging times is that we can turn them around into a great, 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 great success. Great success. Okay? You can still call me in. We have a few minutes here. Please call me in at 646-915-8166. So I'm just going to play a song here and...
my heart full and strength. And I need you more and more each day. Lord, I love you, the foot of the cross I will stay. Your blood, it covers me, so I sing hallelujah. It's a beautiful mystery, hallelujah. Not someone you can't see, hallelujah. To be loved by you, my King, my King.
Drop them out so that they can extend their wings to fly. And she does that a couple times until they get it right and realize, hey, I better fly, you know? Adversity is the foundation of virtue. Adversity is the foundation of virtue. Adversity is the foundation of virtue. And if you keep repeating that word, that this statement to yourself, you won't be going around, you know, ripping your hair out and all of that, because you know all of us want to be virtuous, and adversity helps to build that virtue. In adversity, remember to keep an open mind. Hey, you remember when I mentioned to you about adversity helping me to build character? Find the lesson there. Find the lesson there, because there are lessons there to be learned. The harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. What they say, no test, no testimony. If you have to give a testimony, you must have a test. So that's why we all need to go through these adversities. And Just like I developed my list of all the quotes that helps me through. As you go through your adversity, you need to keep a list too, whether in your journal or your notebook or wherever. But you also need to keep a list that works for you. It is not too late to call in. The number is 646-915-8166. So give me a call and just call in, and so we can have a talk with you, a little conversation with you, and you can share with me about what has been going on. You can explain to me what are some of the things that you have been doing to overcome your adversity. So give me a call, 646-915-8166. Thomas Paine says, the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. I think I just had shared that one. You may have to fight a battle more than once to win it. You may have to fight a battle more than once to win it. Leonardo da Vinci says, obstacles cannot crush me. Every obstacle yields to stern resolve. He who fixes to a star does not change his mind. Out of difficulties grow miracles. Out of difficulties grow miracles. Napoleon Hill writes, every adversity, every failure, every heartache carries with it the seed of an equal or greater benefit. Every adversity, every failure, every heartache carries with it the seed of an equal or greater benefit. Another powerful one from John Quincy Adams. Patience and perseverance have a magical effect before which difficulties disappear and obstacles vanishes. The last one I want to share with you from my favorite list of quotes on adversities is from Napoleon Hill. Every adversity, every failure, every heartache carries with it the seed of an equal or greater benefit. I just pray that there is something that you have heard in this segment of today's show that will help you to overcome obstacles or just to sharpen and keep some tools in your toolbox. I want to tell you that now that we are doing a Sunday segment of the show, we are looking for your stories and those of your friends and neighbors. We are looking for stories on how people reinvent their lives and how they turn their lives around for the better. So visit the show site, mark it favorite, write a comment there and see, let us know what this is doing for you. And if you know of anyone that has an empowering story, we can also use those for the Wednesday show, because the Wednesday show deals with the education, inspiration, and empowerment of entrepreneurs and small business people. So we want to hear your story. On the 9th of February, I will be joined on that show by Victoria Gaither, and she is the newswoman and journalist out of the D.C. area, and Victoria has the show At Home with Victoria, an amazing woman and someone that I admire greatly. So I'm asking you to stop by. I want to encourage you to join me on Facebook, on Twitter, my blog. Just Google and you will see all that I'm doing. I have some good news, so you want to sign up everywhere that I am, because in a few weeks I'm going to be doing something amazingly powerful. And you do not want to miss out on that. So keep stay connected with me, and so you can learn about all the things that I'm doing. Follow me here on the show. Become a friend and write a comment. And remember that on Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we are on and we are discussing life issues. Or we have guests on that will be discussing how they overcame adversity in order to empower themselves and to become successful and even wealthy. So I look forward to having you join me there. And also on Wednesdays, we have empowering stories on how people are really turning their lives around and doing some amazing things. So, again, I hope you learned something out of these highlights and points that I discussed on this show. I don't know who my guest is going to be yet on next Wednesday and on Sunday. So send me an email if you have someone that you think we need to have here on the show. I know I have a couple of people I'm waiting to confirm in Jamaica and somebody in Canada. So, again, I want to say thanks to those of you who have reached out to us during our time of bereavement here. We thank you for your prayers. And I tell you something, there's an amazing thing that happened on Saturday morning. One of my sister friends in India, one of my Facebook friends from India, called me at 5 o'clock in the morning, because I guess she didn't realize what time it was here, but she was concerned that she had sent me a message and she did not hear from me. So she called me up and I said, what a blessing social media is and Facebook. You can have people all around the world who is praying for you and your family when you are going through stuff. So, guys, I love each and every one of you. I thank you that you have allowed me this distinct honor and privilege to always serve you. And like I said, sign up to all my mailing lists and everything, because you won't want to miss what I am going to be doing in a few weeks. So remember that each of us were created for a destiny. Do not allow anyone to derail you, so follow your destiny.
What's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?
To the Lord tonight and directing me. begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Hallelujah. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Everybody. You're going into a new dimension tonight. You'll never ever see it again the same way. You'll never ever touch it again the same way. You've been called with a great call. It's a monumental call. You've been called to change nations and generations.